I'd like to read a portion from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13, and we'll read from verse 22. Acts chapter 13 and verse 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Saviour, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus. As it is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption, but he whom God raised again saw no corruption. My desire, brethren, this evening, very briefly, with the Lord's help, is to, from this little section, just to bring one or two thoughts in relation to those whom the Lord has called to himself, especially recently, especially this year, and in relation to that which has been before us, a word of encouragement. And I trust we can link these two thoughts. We have in this passage which we've read together a wonderful gospel message that was spoken. Of course, it was directed to primarily to those of the house of Israel, and we see that especially when the Lord is referred to as the Saviour of Israel. But what a wonderful thing it is to know that he's not just Israel's Saviour, but that wonderful message, it went out to the nations also. And that is where we come in. And it's a message that's still new, it's still valid for this day. There are many in the nations that need to know of this Saviour. But this passage came to me particularly because of the use of the phrase raised up. And, of course, this was particularly important to those who had the knowledge of the old prophets. It was directed to them, and they had the testimony of it, and here it was brought before them, that it was God who raised up David, a man after his own heart. It was God that raised up the Lord Jesus. And we see that in verse 33. There, of course, it's not resurrection from among the dead. The word, again, shouldn't be there. It's clear by the way it connects that with the psalm that it quotes. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Clearly a reference to the Lord's incarnation. Yes, God raised up Jesus. And I was thinking, you know, we've had brought before us this week the uncertainty of our course here. We prayed for those who are unwell. And a brother was taken last week, buried today. We've had these things before us, this year especially. And these ones, sisters and brothers, they've been here amongst us. They've been loved by their family, by the brethren. They've served the Lord. And we can say that in a measure, in each of their cases, God raised them up to do a special work for him. We've referred to the Lord's servants of old who've helped us, and we can remember things they've taught us. And in many of them are with Christ. Some are laid aside, and they're not able to serve us in the way that they did. And we may take account of this, we may get disheartened. We may wonder, what's to be done? Who will continue the work, the sphere of service that they filled? Well, I trust that in thinking of these things, that our response is one of exercise and energy, not one of being disheartened and downcast. And I trust what we've had before us this week will help us to be those that have the mindset of being overcomers and going on. And Brother Charlie reminded us of dear Frank Wallace's exhortation, keep looking up, keep going on. And that is really, I suppose, what I'd like us to take away from this little passage. You know, we have before us a world hurtling on to a lost eternity, and they need to hear of this Saviour, a Saviour to Israel, a Saviour to the nations, the only Saviour. And how will they hear unless we tell them? How will those who are hurtling on to a lost eternity, how will they hear of what is available to them? The solemn matter that was brought before us, wasn't it, on Saturday? The final state of those that reject Christ. The most solemn matter. And if we think of those who don't know Christ, surely we should have the utmost concern for them and desire to bring them the news of the gospel of the grace of God. David is brought in here. And I was thinking, you know, of David, how he had the desire to rebuild the temple. We know that it wasn't in the will of God that he should do so. He'd been a man of war. And maybe there are things that those the Lord has called home, they had a desire to do certain things. Maybe they would have desired to be with their families a little longer. Maybe they had an exercise as to this avenue of service, this work that was started here or there. They had a desire to do it. The Lord had raised them up to do it, and they'd started and they desired to take it through to the end. But it wasn't to be, and it's in the Lord's will. But what did what was the matter in relation to David's desire? The Lord, he took account of it. He took account of what was in David's heart, in his desire to do something. And although he wasn't permitted to do it, there were those things which he was able to do in order to provide a start for the work. And God took account of it, and he was blessed as a result of what was in his heart. So we can be encouraged that those who, for one reason or another, have not been able to do what their hearts desired, have not been able to continue the work in which they were involved, God took account of all that was in their heart, and we can rest assured that they were blessed in their souls as a result. And maybe we have the feeling that, well, I'd like to do something, I'd like to do a particular service for the Lord, but my circumstances don't allow me to. I'm an old person, maybe my health isn't good, maybe I'm a young mother tied to the children and the home. Maybe I'm busy at work and my bosses, my job puts heavy responsibility on me, long hours, and I can't do what I would desire to do. Well, you know, if it's a genuine exercise, the Lord knows. The Lord takes account of it, and there'll be blessing for your souls. But what else can we do? Well, we can pray. We can pray for the work. We can pray that others might be raised up to do what we're unable to do. We can help others, perhaps financially. There are words of encouragement we can give them. We can tell them that we're praying for them in their service. And in this way, the work goes on. David, he didn't get to build the temple, but God raised up Solomon. And God is not tied to one servant or another. He doesn't need any one of us. It's only in his grace that he takes up any one of us to serve him. But we can rest assured that God is able to raise up others. Maybe he raises up in the place of one who was occupied with work. Maybe God raises up two or three or more. And thereby the work goes on, but the work is increased. We don't know, and we shouldn't question the Lord's dealings with us. But what we should know from our study of his word, that he is able, and he's able to take up any that is in accordance with his will. Well, David, it says of him, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep. And those who have been on our hearts in regard to this matter of their being taken by the Lord, it can be said of them that they served in their own generation. And God took account of it. But they're gone. The servants of the past are with the Lord. And while they were here, when they were here, they acted in his interests and they served him. And just like David, God has taken account of it. But now, we're here. They're no longer here. We're here. What is our response? Do we throw up our hands in despair and say, it's not like the old days? We remember Brother so-and-so on this platform and how he helped us in regard to the readings. And those who are older perhaps will remember the days of the past and they make a comparison. And yes, we're in days of weakness, aren't we? There's failure. But this is not the mindset that I desire us to have. To look back with thankfulness for what God had raised up. Thankfulness for what we've enjoyed in the past. And to value it as a rich legacy. But we live in today. And tomorrow, the Lord may come. So now how do we go day by day? We may look around and say, well, who is to take the place of this sister? Who will fill the gap left by that brother? And we question, we ask, who will take the place? And we look outside, don't we? Look at this one or that one. And maybe the Lord is saying to you, maybe he's saying to me, You're to take that place. You're to take up a work. If you're exercised about a lack, if you're exercised about a need, maybe this is the Lord's way of raising the matter with you. And all of us, we can be encouraged to go on. And really, this is very simply what I had before us. This week, we've had so much in the way of practical help. Not only practical help, but we had at the very beginning that end view. And we've sung in our hymn that our eyes, our thoughts might be raised higher, higher and higher yet. And so with our eyes on the Lord Jesus, our eyes and our hearts occupied with his soon coming. If we're occupied with his soon coming, it will energize us as to the need of this world. It will energize us too in regard to the need of our meetings and our gatherings. Generally speaking, we're marked by fewness of number, aren't we? And weakness and difficulty and the pressures of modern day life impinge upon our time and our ability to be at the meetings and to help one another. And we feel torn. We feel as if the days go by so quickly and we wonder where the time's gone. But we're living in the here and now, aren't we? And we must be occupied with the opportunities we have. And so I would just leave you with this exhortation, dear brethren, that David said of him at the end of his life that he served in his own generation. And we're living in our own generation. This is our generation. And what will we do to serve the Lord? How will we serve him? Will it be said of us that we served God in our own generation? Well, may the Lord help us to be exercised as to those gaps that have been left. We need to fill the gap. We can't look on others. If we are exercised about it and we do our part, then the other brother, the other sister, that's their responsibility to be exercised as to them, as in regard to themselves. But it must start with ourselves first, and we must be exercised as to what we can do. If we can't do anything in a practical way, it's the best thing we can do. We can pray for our brethren. We can pray. We can even pray for a need where currently there's no one engaged in that activity. We can pray about a need that we see, confident that God, hearing our prayers, is able. He's able to raise up. Whether he does in our lifetime, whether he does in a way which we can see, it doesn't matter. But if we're exercised about these things, we have a real concern for those hurtling on to a lost eternity. If we have a concern for our own little gatherings, our brethren, our younger ones, we're thankful for them. And we have a wonderful example in those that have gone before. But most of all, we have the perfect example in that blessed man, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of Israel, the Saviour of the nations, our Saviour. Well, may the Lord help us to be encouraged in a practical way and to go on, keep looking up, keep going on, and to take away with us what we've had before us in regard to overcoming, that it may have a practical outworking, and it might be said of us in our day that we served God in our generation.